Okay, so now that we have a little more than a Mazumin, we can get started. I just put the link to the source sheet in the chat. Everyone's along here, and I can also share the screen. So tonight, I'd like to discuss the issue of live organ donation in Jewish law. And this came about, credit Mindy for the request. It's always good to get requests for topics, and the request is for organ donation. And that as I was putting it together, I realized not all organ donation is equal in Jewish law. And in fact, the issues between live organ donation, meaning when everyone's agreed that the person is alive, and things like heart transplants or organs that can only be taken from someone at the end of the life, you know, unless you, you know, kill them, but you can't take them and can't keep the person who gave them alive. And they're really two different subjects in halakha. So I thought maybe this week we would do the live one, and then we'll do the post-life one. And the two different subjects are as follows. When it comes to the issue of organ donations that of vital organs, so like hearts and the like. So the issues that are involved there are, well, questions about, you know, murder, because if a person's alive and you remove their hearts, they're not going to live much longer. And so the question is, so that really revolves around the question of time of death, if it would have to be taken after a person is halakhically dead. There are also cases where, let's say, there's an organ that was taken from someone who, let's see, according to some authorities, are not halakhically dead. Can you benefit from what halakha may consider murder? And also, we have a place great importance on the kavod ha'meis, on the honor of and the respect for a dead body, for a corpse. We bury it. We don't leave it out. And are there issues there? So those are really the two issues that are in non-live organ donation. But tonight I want to discuss live organ donation. And really live organ donation, the calculus is a little bit different. It's really a tension between benevolence or altruism and self-preservation. You know, weighing and balancing those two values, because both of those things are values. We are supposed to give to others. We have commandments to give to others. We're also required to preserve and guard our own lives. So when it comes to live organ donations, so mentioned things like kidney, but when it comes to things like donating blood, while there are some dangers, you know, that's a little bit, there's a little bit less of an investment with at least a healthy person giving a little bit of blood. When it comes to giving a kidney, you know, that's a pretty major operation, both the operation itself and after you give the kidney. So you have one kidney and not two. So to what extent are we expected to go to help preserve the lives of others? And probably in the last couple of decades, there are, you know, several prominent organizations within the religious Jewish community that renewal organizations that that facilitate kidney donations. So it's something that we see is done. And the question is, if it's done, so what have the halakhic authorities of last century had to say about this? And is it any kind of requirement, or is it a nice thing to do, or is it maybe something that we should hesitate doing? So I'll take I'll ask this to the people on Zoom and in person. You know, let's say set up a scenario. There's someone who's in desperate need of a kidney. If they don't have the kidney transplant, they'll die. And you find out you're a match. So do you have any halachic, or let's say moral obligation to give them your kidney if it could save their life? Any thoughts?
Moral?
Or I'll say really halachic. Yeah.
Speak up in a fish.
for the other person, right?
And it's that question is still kind of a lot.
But you're making yourself and getting
no, that's a yeah, but it's okay to give. I think
your risk is lower than, right. Much lower than obviously the guy that I
right. So even for the people on Zoom, even here we have the debate. On one hand, Dasha said the pikuach nefesh, the saving of a life, is pushes off like other prohibitions or many other considerations. At the same time, I'm saving a life, but it's costing me something. Now we say that the risks are, are minuscule. I think they are fatalities from kidney transplants. I think are very for the donor are very low, but they do happen. I think it's something like 3 in 10,000. It's statistically very low.
The same way you would contemplate doing any surgery. No?
Right. So you could say it's the same way you would contemplate doing any surgery. You can make a difference, and I guess it could be more compelling depending on how you look at it. If you say, well, it's a surgery for myself, so I'm taking the risk because I'm at least have the chance of improving my own health. Maybe I don't have to do that for someone else, or maybe it's say I should take a bigger risk because there's an altruistic outcome for someone else. But that's exactly the tension that exists is. If I have the opportunity to save someone's life, so normally I would, be required to do it. There's a mitzvah in the Torah, l'samar al dam riacha. I can't stand idly by my fellow's blood when I see that someone is in trouble. At the same time, I have to balance that with halakhic requirements to guard my own health. Would anyone think that it's problematic to give? Maybe halakhically, I shouldn't. Close harm to yourself, right?
Well, also, you don't know the complications you're going to get from doing the transplant. For example, kidney. You give one kidney away, you're left with one kidney that could potentially fail, and you're in that same situation that you're going to need a kidney.
Right. So we have the doctor on the line. So, phone a friend. So he says it's not so... You're giving to someone your kidney to someone else because they have kidney failure. But you only have one kidney. You're operating at 50%. You can operate 100% functionality. But if that kidney fails, then you're in trouble. So it's not by any means zero risk. Both the surgery itself, just like any surgery, and just the risks that are inevitable with having a part of your body removed.
Would it vary between? If you're Yisrael or Cohen, did that have any influence? Creating, is it like it's for a moon?
For a Cohen, is it Balmu? I'm not aware that it is, but I'm not 100% sure. Would it be a moon? I haven't seen anyone who says that, but that's an interesting point. I'm not sure. I haven't heard that Kohanim, that like renewal doesn't take from Kohanim. Also, yeah, we'll look into it, but I don't think so. Okay, so I'll share the screen. So you have to look what are we balancing here? And as we said, we're balancing the obligation to preserve our own health with the obligation to preserve the lives of others and prevent harm to others. The question is, to what extent do we have to go to help others when we're sacrificing something of ourselves? Usually helping others involves giving something up. So how far do we have to go? So this is a prohibition of harming oneself. The first verse of Mishnah Bava Kamma says that someone who injures themselves, so they are not obligated to pay any type of penalties or compensation, but others who harm them are obligated to pay compensation. That's even the Mishnah discusses the cases where we assume that the person maybe wouldn't have minded or didn't care so much about themselves, but there's a prohibition of causing injury to oneself. Now, as we mentioned with the discussion about outreach and Shabbos invitations, okay, so there is a prohibition of causing injury to oneself and certainly to others, but that can be overridden if there's a productive purpose. But just as a baseline, we're not supposed to take lightly, you know, and each case is different with cosmetic surgeries, you know, different topic, but it's not something just to do without thinking to cause any type of injury. And you know, surgery, you know, certainly is. And just in general, we're exhorted to take steps to preserve the safety of others, but even ourselves. In number two, the Rambam cites the pasuk Yishmer Lecha, be very careful, Shmor Nafshecha, and guard yourselves. And that includes removing any type of danger. So then we don't, you know, lock ourselves up. You know, we're not expected to, you know, to not venture out into the world, but we are supposed to, as a Torah commandment, be aware of different decisions that may cause danger and that may cause harm to certainly to others, but even to ourselves. At the same time, there is a prohibition in the Torah: "Lasamod al dam reyecha." Don't stand by the blood of your friend. So what does that mean? And when we take a look at this, I want to you see if you have any idea of the scope of this. Gemara says in number three, Gemara Sanhedrin says, so from where do you know that if you see another drowning in a river, being dragged by a beast or being beset by bandits, you must act to save them? You can't just say, oh, you know, I didn't see, I'm not getting involved. If you see this, you have to get involved somehow. You do have an obligation to save them. From the pasuk l'samar al dam reyecha, don't stand by the blood of your friend. And Rashi says there that what is a person, to what extent is a person supposed to get involved? Rashi just says the obligation of a chayiv latzilo, that you're obligated to save him. Now, I think there are certain circumstances that we would all agree that, yeah, if you're able to help someone, so you're not supposed to just, you know, sit there and look the other way, right? That was the whole, remember this last episode of Seinfeld ever, right? Where they went to the town and they had this Good Samaritan law. I guess I'm older than everyone here, but they went to trial. They went to town. They went to jail. So you can't just go and and look the other way when pull out your phone or do something like that when someone is getting attacked or someone is coming to harm. You have an obligation to intervene and to help them. Now, from what we have seen already and from elsewhere, it can't mean that I have to do everything I possibly can, even if it's going to sacrifice my life. And if I'm going to jump into the river and I'm going to drown, so I don't have to go that far. And that's clear from, get down to number five, the famous Gemara and the debate between Ben Patur and Rabbi Kiva about if people are stuck in a desert and there's only one jug of water. So if they split it, they'll both die. And if one of them has it, then he'll live and the other one will die. So Ben Patura says that better to split it and they'll both die. And Rabbi Kiva says that no, the person who has access to the water, that person himself should drink. Because he looks at the pasuk Chayecha Kodmin L'Chay Chaveru, that your life takes precedence over the life of your friend. So I can't jump in. It would seem from there that I can't just jump in raging water. It's some way I could, you know, throw him out, but then I'll drown. So then how far do we have to go? You know, what does it sound like to you? If you were to just say in your general sense of I should help someone out if I'm able to, how far would you go? Maybe a kidney. Okay, kidney is going pretty far.
Oh, the shot of that on Big Mark sounds pretty far.
With
the river, bandits, I mean, those are dangerous.
Right, right. So that's so that's what's unclear, and when, we'll see a little bit later how some of have understood this Gemara to apply to practical cases. But exactly, any, just like we said, any act of benevolence involves me giving something, you know, whether it's financial, but that's, you know, that's easier to justify. But if, right, if it's a river or it's something, there's some degree of risk that I'm taking, you know, it, obviously I'd be, you know, who knows, the bandits may, you know, punch me in the face, or I could be swept away by the river. Even if it's not a life-threatening situation, if I'm getting involved, I'm positioning myself to potentially be harmed. Whereas if I didn't get involved, I wouldn't be harmed. So I think that's a very good point, that any involvement in this would put me at some risk. But the question is, how much risk am I expected to take? Because you see, on the extreme, I'm not expected to save someone else's life at the expense of my own life. So now what we have to see is, well, what about other types of harm? Can I injure myself to save someone else?
Believe it or not, this is very obligated.
Am I right? It seems like from the Gemara above Metziah that I'm not allowed to, that I chayecha kolmin, but otherwise, am I allowed to? Normally, I'm not allowed to injure myself, but what if by injuring myself, I can save someone else? So, right, we have a question is, are we required to? And are we allowed to? So obviously there's a certain, we're required to, at least to a certain extent, to put ourselves out there to assist others. On the other hand, we're not allowed to sacrifice our own life for the life of someone else. So how does this play out?
So then is there a third category of like wanting versus have to?
I mean, you may not have to, but you want to, and that would be a good thing.
You want to, and it's permitted.
It could mean some family member as opposed
to. Meaning you're not allowed to give up your life for someone else, right?
Right. Yeah.
So the supposition is then, so what's the length of your allowance? It's not obligation.
Exactly. And then that's really the question. That's really the question here is, what am I allowed to do? But also are the things that maybe I'm not obligated to do, but if I do them, it's a good thing. Because we'll see, there are certain things, if I elect to do them, it's considered a good thing. But certain types of risk, that if I elect to do them, it's considered foolish. So, but, you know, when we enter different, you know, real life situations, the question of when am I, you know, sacrificing myself or compromising my own needs to save someone else more than is necessary. When am I giving up too much? And maybe different people or this different circumstances may view it differently, but I think we do have that, you know, that point where, you know, this is just too much to expect of someone, even to save someone's life. We could probably, you know, do, you know, give up many of the things we have to, you know, solve world hunger. You know, there are probably ways to do that if everyone, you know, only had the minimum, but obviously we don't live to the, you know, bare minimum standard. So there's a Gemara in Nedarim in number 6, which discusses a town where in one town there's a spring, they have control of the spring, and in a neighboring town, they don't have a water source and the water is scarce. So they have to choose how to distribute the water. So the Gemara says that if there's a choice between their access to the spring and allowing the other town access to the spring, so they have priority, because as the Gemara there in Nedarim also quotes this, account of the discussion between Rabbi Kiva and Ben Petura. Says because of this, Kayecha Goldman, that self-preservation takes priority, even over saving the lives of others. So there's only enough water for one town. The town that has the water is obligated to take it for themselves. What about their animals and again, the same thing with their property. Their animals precede the animals of others. Their laundry precedes the laundry of others, meaning this is all you know, pretty basic in different areas of halacha. I have a first obligation to see it that I have my basic needs. And if I'm not able to cover my basic needs, so I really don't have an obligation to give tzedakah. In general, as much as we're supposed to be gomlei chasadim, do kindness for others to give tzedakah, it can't at all diminish the importance of that. At the end of the day, we've seen many areas of halacha, self-preservation is primary. So whether it's drinking water or watering animals or laundry, so there, the town that has the water takes it for themselves.
For airplane, include the oxygen mask
policy. Right. They say, please. Yeah, I don't know if the, you know, the lumbus is that is you're not going to be able to be to have the state the peace of mind to help others. But yeah, I guess first fix your own mask before assisting others. It's been a while since I've flown, but I think I still can remember the spiel.
So do we go according to Yossi?
Oh, so that's so now we get to the laundry. So what if there's a choice between enough water for the town that has the spring to do their laundry, or to give to others to and save their lives? I guess it depends how much people, you know, care about clean laundry. Meaning, so in this case, the water source is sufficient either for the town that has the well to use it for their laundry, or if they gave it to the other town and didn't wash their clothes, then the other town would have drinking water. So this is right. So this is a machlokas. This is a dispute in the Gemara. The primary opinion says that the lives of other their lives of the other town precede the hometown's laundry. And Rabbi Yossi says that the laundry, that town's laundry, precedes the lives of the drinking water of the other town.
Is he thinking from a health aspect in terms of hygiene?
So the reason there is this is in a discussion about, you know, different vows that are considered, very painful. You know, inui nefesh, afflicting the soul. Very, self affliction. And in this discussion, the assumption is that not having clean laundry is coming from a hygienic perspective, but it's such a, you know, painful, unpleasant type of existence that Rabbi Yossi maintained that a town doesn't have an obligation to give up, you know, very, very basic comforts or hygiene, even to preserve the lives of others. And listen, we listen to the question. At first, we'd first say, like, oh, of course, you know, help the other people. It's going to save their life. But we're not able to, you know, people.
What the laundry represents, not actually the laundry.
I feel like that's not one is like preserving wealth, and one is like causing, you know.
So the Gemara there actually says, I mean, now we have, you know, a wardrobe, we have multiple, shirts and outfits. But, you know, in the situations that Gemara was speaking about, you probably had, you know, one shirt, one outfit. And if you didn't wash the clothes, so you'd have, bugs and infestation, and it'll lead to rashes. I mean, this is actually what the Gemara says. I mean, it's not just, I can't wash my favorite shirt. This is, I have one outfit, and it's going to get, the bugs are going to go, it's going to get, it's very, very painful. So that's what Rabbi Yossi says. You don't need to go to that extent even to save a life of someone else. Right. But it just shows a perspective. I mean, Rabbi Yossi knows Osamad al Dam Reyecha and the supreme value in it as...
It almost goes back to like, so why doesn't everyone just give up any money except for their basic needs?
Right. And there's some philosophers, I think the philosopher Peter Singer, who is kind of nutty in other areas, but he says you have to basically give up everything, you know, to if there's someone else who's lacking. So that's really the question. How much do we have to give up to help others? And it shows that at least there's not as important as saving the lives of others is. And that's the Mishnah in Sanhedrin that says, "Kol mitkayim nefesh achas, malav akasuk ki ilo kiyem olam mole." Anyone who saves a life is, some version has Yisrael, and our versions has Yisrael. That's a different manuscripts of different versions. Anyone who kills one soul as if he destroyed the entire world, and anyone who sustains a life, who saves a life, it's as if he sustained the entire world. So we see the supreme value of saving life. Rabbi Yossi surely knew this. But again, just as far as a perspective, it's not so simple that just because an action can save someone else's life means that I have to do it if it will be at a very significant cost to me. But am I allowed to? Is it something that's held up as an ideal? If you look at the Talmud Yerushalmi in number 7, tells us a story of Rav Imi, who was captured in a dangerous area. And when they found out that Rav Imi was captured, Rav Yochanan says, he says, let the corpse be wrapped in its sheet, meaning we can't go in and do anything. This is over. You know, he's a dead man. Rish Lakish says, no. Ada ana katil, ana emet katil. I'll kill her, I'll be killed, meaning I'm going in there. You know, and even if it's risking my life, I'm going to go in and save Rav Imi. And he went in, and he was able to he was able to appease them, and they returned. So it worked out in the end. And I don't know if anyone told Rav Imi who was on which side. You know that Biona's son didn't want to, you know, it hasn't gone and save him. But anyway, Reish Lakish went and negotiated his way out. Clearly, at risk to him. I mean, he thought it was a risk. He said, you know, I'm gonna go in and I'll kill or I'll be killed. He went in and was willing to save him by force, even at the risk of personal danger, and he saved him. So how do we view this in light of, particularly in light of number 5, the Gemara in Bava Metzia with Rabbi Kiva and Ben Batura, Chayecha Kodman, that your life takes precedence? What was Reish Lakish doing going in there and even saying, you know, I'll kill or I'll be killed, you know, even seemingly accepting the risk of being killed in order to save Rav Imi?
These are also different levels. Here's imminent death. And with water, maybe we can figure it out. Maybe we'll get ready. Maybe, you know, that's not.
Meaning the water case is the one where we say you take it for yourself.
Right, but it's not imminent. Like, you don't know what you're having.
It's
24, 48 hours.
I don't know. You're in a desert and you don't have water. You know it's a 24-hour walk. But, so that's actually, I'll mention it here because you brought it up. That's, if you do look back at the Gemara with Ben Petura and Rabbi Kiva. So the Nitziv actually understands the Gemara like Asher said, that Ben Petura wasn't saying that, wasn't suggesting we both basically, you know, take a token drink, but accept death, accept that we'll both die. But maybe the Rishalmi with Reish Lakish is Ben Petura's approach, is that you can go in if there's a possibility, even though there's a likelihood that you'll die, because maybe it's possible you can get out there, right? Maybe someone will come and bring a jug of water. Meaning it's not, you're not now, you know, taking a pill to poison yourself. So some actually do understand Ben Petura like that, that he was saying you could, not that, you know, you both have to die, but you could take a risk that, that in, you know, all likelihood, will kill both of them, but you're taking the chance that maybe by doing this, maybe by giving everyone a fighting chance, they'll both come out alive. So, and you're certainly not allowed to kill someone else, even if someone else is going to kill you. But how much do you have to go to save them? And, you know, and what risk can you yourself risk getting out there, getting out alive, if it'll give your friend a fighting chance? But if, even if that's how we understand Ben Patura saying, okay, we want to give both people a fighting chance. But the Gemara goes according to Rabbi Akiva. So what would that say about Reish Lakish? Did he do the right thing or did he do the wrong thing? So there are many authorities who say that this is an example of a dispute between the Talmud Bavli and Talmud Yerushalmi, the Babylonian Talmud and the Jerusalem Talmud. And in a dispute between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, we go like the Bavli. And maybe the example in the Yerushalmi isn't accepted. Maybe what Reish Lakish did is not accepted, at least as a requirement, because maybe the Bavli, where we saw the dispute between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Patura, ruled in favor of Rabbi Akiva, that you have that Chayecha Kodman, that your life takes precedence. So that's a dispute. So the Agudas Ezov quoted in the Piskei Tshuva number 8 says that, you know, why isn't the example of Reish Lakish, that you have, that if someone is captured, you have to go in order to save them. Why isn't it mentioned by the Rif, Rambam, Rush, Torah, all of the major authorities? And he says, because this is a ruling in the Yerushalmi, but there's a ruling in the Bavli, the ruling of Rabbi Akiva, that disputes this. So we go like the Bavli, we go like Rabbi Akiva. But if we take a closer look at the application of Losamad al Damriecha, which we saw before, that if you see your friend being, you know, taken by robbers or drowning, they look back at number 3. So that sounds like, as Usher pointed out, you have to get involved in some way. You see someone drowning or being dragged by a beast or being beset by bandits, so maybe you do have to get involved. So what's the scope of that involvement? So the Rambam says that anyone who's able in number 9, anyone who's able, kol yachol lets lahatzil velo hitzil over alo samadol damriyacha. Anyone who's able to save and doesn't save is in violation of, you shall not stand by the blood of your friend. So wait a second. We just said, well, what about Rabbi Akiva, chayecha kodmin, your life takes precedence, and now we're told we have to get involved. And he gives the example that the Gemara gives. You see someone drowning in a river, or being mugged, or a beast coming out of them. V'yachol atzilo, and you're able to save them, either yourself or you're able to, you know, pay them off, pay the robbers off for them to go away and leave them alone. And you don't, so you're in violation of lo samad al damriecha. Don't stand by as your brother's blood is shed. So.
Well, now that you brought up, obviously, that the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the conflict is also between the Bavli. So it's not, I don't think it's a clear
right
conflict between Yerushalmi and the Bavli.
Right, so that...
In Yerushalmi, what's he going to say from this then?
Exactly, yeah. No, that's an excellent point, that we said that the Agudas Ezov, this authority according to Piskei Tshuva, said that there's a dispute between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi is the one who squares Reish Lakish, he goes in and saves them, but the Bavli says, your life takes precedence. But what about the Shrili knew the Gemara in Sanhedrin that you're supposed to, well, Samad al Damriyach, you're supposed to get involved if someone is being robbed or being chased. So how do we understand that? It doesn't seem like a Bavli Yerushalmi. It seems like maybe the Gemara in Bava Metzia and the Gemara in Sanhedrin. But the Agudas Ezov says, and the others say as well, that it's a machlokas Bavli and Yerushalmi. So, right, how do we? What do you mean machlokas Bavli and Yerushalmi? What about the Bavli in Sanhedrin? So we'll see how that's understood. the Bach in number 10 is commentary to the Choshen Mishpat, commentary to the Tzur. So he notes that the Rambam says, uses the language Yochol Lahatzilo, that he's that a situation where the friend is able to save the friend who's being attacked. And he says the Mashma the Dafka, but the Ain Suffix she Yochol Lahatzilo. There's one. This is talking about a case where there's no doubt that you're going to be able to save him. Aval Eino Chayiv Lahaknis Atzmo B'Suffix Sakana Latzelos Chaveiro. But you're not obligated to enter into even a doubtful danger in order to save your friend. So he's understanding, the Bach is understanding the Rambam as saying that when it says Yochol Lahatzil, meaning if you're able to save him without coming to significant harm. So maybe you're a lifeguard and you go in, and that would probably be dependent on your abilities. I mean, in general, if you don't know how to swim, you can't go and wouldn't be able to go in and swim, but maybe you're a lifeguard, maybe you're, you know, a surfer, and you're, you know, it's not so difficult for you to go in and save someone else in the water. So according to the Bach, that seems to be the situation where a person is required to get involved, when they'll be able to save them at not a great risk of personal danger. It's not going to be such a hard job for them. But the Bach says, and this is how he understands the Torah. The Torah is the very end of Choshen Mishpat. But first, the Torah quotes this Yerushalmi quotes the ruling of the Yerushalmi that you're supposed to chayiv lahatzilo bein begufo bein bemamono. You're required to rescue him, whether through an investment of your physical investment or monetary investment. But then the Torah quotes that the Rambam says that he quotes the ruling of the Rambam, and the Bach understands this to mean that you have to get involved if it's not going to come at great personal danger. But he says even suffix sakana, even if there's a doubt of a serious danger, you're not required to get involved. And I think this is how we can reconcile the understanding that this is in fact a dispute between the Bavli and the Rishami, because what's the Bavli? The Bavli in Sanhedrin L'Saman Al Damriach, it means you have to get involved if you're able to, if you can reasonably save him without entering personal danger. So that's the case where you're not allowed to sit by. But that's not saying that you have, according to this interpretation, it's not saying that you have to put yourself in harm's way in order to save someone else.
How does all this line up with the halachos of war?
So the halachos of war, right? If you're... So the Minchas Chinuch says, he asks that question. He says, in, you know, real life, war involves death. War, you know, if you go out to war, there's certainly a risk of death. And he writes the Minchas Chinuch writes this on the mitzvah of Kibush Haaretz, of conquering Eretz Yisrael. Hashem commanded us to go into Eretz Yisrael and push out the nations that were there. Well, you know, we just left, you know, Mitzrayim, or it could be operative even now, but we, if we don't go, we were, you know, not entering a situation of danger, but Hashem commanded us to put our lives at risk and to encounter the inevitable consequences of death for the mitzvah of conquering Eretz Yisrael. The Minchas Chinuch asks, how are we allowed to do that? It's not, conquering Eretz Yisrael is not one of the three mitzvot in the Torah that in the case, or the under discussion, the three transgressions that you have to give your life. You don't have to give your life, Minchas Chinuch says, to conquer Eretz Yisrael. So the Minchas Chinuch says that war is different, and he leaves it as a tzarech iyun that needs investigation. Why it's different, but he said it must be, you know, just war is different. We have a shiur on, you know, land for peace, and you know that whole topic, you know, that'll come in relevant. What if you can give land and save lives? But you know, that's maybe we'll have that definitely a rabbinic debate of the past 100 years. So with Hashem, we can take a look at that. But that's probably how you answer the war situation is, yeah, maybe war is different. At least that's the approach of the Minchas Kenuv. Okay, and again, this seems like we're, you know, kind of oscillating. Well, we're supposed to get involved, but not put ourselves in too much danger. So, you know, how do we define this? So there's note that the SMA, one of the commentaries on Choshen Mishpat and Shulchan Aruch, also assumes that just like we had seen before, that many of the major authorities don't rule like the Yerushalmi, with Reish Lakish entering danger, and do not require us to enter a situation of danger, even to help others. But the Aruch HaShulchan, Rabbi Chil Michael Epstein, in number 11, says, right, he says we don't rule like the, he says some of the poskim do bring the Yerushalmi. This is quoted in one version of Gaus Maimonios. But he said many of the early authorities omitted the ruling of that Yerushalmi, the example of that Yerushalmi, because the Bavli says that we one need not put himself in this type of danger. But he says that all of this is, you know, this is all, you know, sort of case specific. You have to weigh the you know, realistic risks, and you shouldn't be, you know, too protective of yourself. And you say, oh, you know, I may, you know, break a finger. I mean, maybe somebody breaking a fingernail is a big deal, but, you know, you don't say that. He says, don't say that, you know, I'm just not going to get involved because maybe I'll come to some remote risk. He's saying you have to, he's saying at the end of the day, we don't rule like the Yerushalmi, like Reish Lakish, that you have to go in and risk your life, or even maybe put yourself in significant danger. But, you know, you have to weigh the situation. It could be a situation where you're able to go in and help, so you should go in and help. Really, how similar to how the Bach interprets the Rambam. So here's where we get into some of the major sources with kidney donation. So you look at the Radbaz of David Ben Shlomo Ibn Avi Zimri in number 12 in. So he wasn't speaking about kidney donation because they couldn't really do that in 16th century Spain. But he speaks about a case that is maybe a model for kidney donation. The case is, you know, let's say a bunch of bad guys come and say, either we're going to kill your friend or you can allow us to cut off your arm and then we won't kill your friend. I mean, this is a true, presumably this was actually a realistic case. So what do you think? They say either we'll cut off your arm or we'll shoot your friend. So what should you do? Do you have to allow them to cut off your arm?
Seems a little more dangerous than a kidney transplant, because amputating your arm in 16th century Spain, high probability of infection, many problems, and plus you're missing it.
Right, or take it.
I knew how to do it, you know.
Right, I guess they were experts at the time.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, it sounds more complicated than
it is. Right, well, that's also a part of it. Is one, you're, you know, compromising your quality of life very significantly, but also, it's not a no risk. It's not just, you know, a cosmetic type of loss. Gives an example of blinding or amputating a limb, meaning, sure, they're not cutting off your head, but that whole procedure puts you at a lot higher risk than you were before. But how do you weigh that with, well, if I don't allow them to do that, then they're going to cut off my friend's head. Maybe it depends how good a friend you are, but actually, essentially, the Radbaz more or less says that. He says, this interesting source. He says, you know, do we say derechecha darchei noam? The Torah's ways are ways of pleasantness. Meaning, you can't say the Torah requires you to get your arm chopped off, you know, even to save someone else. You know, that's not the kind of you know, investment the Torah requires you to make. So he gives a way of weighing the pros and cons. He says, if this is something that the potential benefit will outweigh the, you know, the killing of the friend, you know, the benefit of saving his life will not put the person at significant danger, then he says that it's a midas chasidus. It's a pious act to do. If you're going to be able to do it, it's not really going to put you at risk of death. I mean, depending on maybe cutting off your arm, but, you know, blinding someone, maybe not. I mean, it's terrible. But if it's not, if you're not putting yourself in a situation where, you know, you're going to, you know, come to death, so you have certainly have no obligation to do it, says the Radbaz, because the Torah doesn't require us to make this type of investment. But if you do it, it's a meritorious act. But if there is potential danger, so then he says you're a chassid shota, you're a pious fool, because the person's life, the person being threatened of, you know, having their or being presented with the choice, supersedes the definite death of someone else. So that's the, you know, that's the calculus that Revis provides. He says, well, you don't have to. And well, what if you want to? As Alex asked before, what if you want to? Is it good or is it bad? This depends. If you're basically going to come to certain death, so or close to it, so then it's a foolish act. Ayecha Kolman, your life takes precedence. If it's you're going to be a pretty big investment, but you're not going to come to in a real danger, and you can save your friend's life, so you don't have to. But in that case, it would be a midas chasidus. It would be pious. Okay, so what about we get to something like kidney donations? Or I'll start out smaller. What about with giving blood? So there is some discussion about giving blood, but many prominent poskim hold that there's a perhaps even an obligation. Moshe Weiss says this. I still quoted from Rav Bleich and Rav Willig, that says this, that if you, that for a healthy person who are taking small amounts of blood or you know, things like platelets, that would be an obligation. Now, they, you know, they say it's an obligation. Let's say there's a specific person who needs blood, or a specific need for blood, but donating to a bank may be a mitzvah, even though you are, you know, causing a wound. But when some of the postings say that that reaches the level of obligation is really when you giving the blood is going to save someone's life in the immediate, in the future, or if there's an immediate need for it, as opposed to giving so that the, you know, the city has sufficient supply as far as the obligation goes. So that's again, there are some, you know, differing perspectives. I can think blood, but that would seem to be, you know, certainly an advisable thing, because the, it's
what's the other side of it? What would be the reason that we're not going to do it?
There are some who say because you're making a wound and maybe it doesn't have immediate effect. I think many of the great poskim say, Rav Asher Weizner says, others say that not only is it allowed, but that it, you know, may even reach some sort of level of obligation.
Clarify, Rabbi. Well, some of them are actually used only for another Jew. We're talking about giving to a general bank, or in general, giving an organ.
Right. So that would also get into, you know, lo sichanim, giving a gift or a free gift. An organ may be more of a question. It also gets into priorities, just in general. If you view it as a kind of tzedakah, so you have tzedakah priorities to people who are closest to you. But I think Dam Riacha, generally Riacha says another Jew. There are, with giving blood, it happens to be if the city doesn't have enough blood or the state, whoever controls the blood supply. So that's basically giving to everyone, meaning we want the availability of blood. That's part of it. Those are all the concerns about, you know, Darkei Shalom and Eva, but right. So there's something.
Like say in general, all these cases.
The prohibition of Samad al-Dam Riecha, I thing applies to Reyecha, which is for Jews. There are, again, there are other considerations that maybe for non-Jews, either Darkei Shalom, a piece, or Rami says halakta bedrachav, just to go in Hashem's way. Just like Hashem is merciful, we're supposed to be merciful people. We see someone getting, you know, mugged, then we're able to help. We should help. But the specific prohibition of the samar l'damriacha thing is technically with, among Jews.
The risk taking would be significantly well. Right.
Maybe, but it may not be that you have. But it may be, as you saw from the Bach, that you may not have to take such a great risk for Reacha. So when it gets,
so the obligation of blood giving that is for non-Jews also, for non-Jew. You cut through like some point where you and non-Jews stand up to the act and you're like, we need your blood right now. This person is at the same level of obligation. It's for a Jewish person.
I don't think it would be from the perspective of Samadol Damriach. I don't think it would be the same obligation. I think in that case, it would probably come from things like concern for Ava or Darkei Shalom or things like that, which we can discuss in of itself are paramount principles. Yeah. And Shabbos also have the consideration of Ava and. Moshe Fein says that Shuba says, you know, in practice, you know, we do treat everyone. He says, you know, anyway, but that's, but the calculus may be different. I think certainly for something like giving a kidney, which would not be, certainly, well, he doesn't seem to be required, for being a Jew, right? That would probably be, less of a halachic imperative. But it may not be so simple to give to anyone. Yitzhak Yaakov Weiss, the Milchas Yitzchak, says that, and I don't know, what I heard from the doctor is, he says it's not, giving a kidney isn't so simple. It's not just, giving a little bit of blood or you're taking significant risk, and he says, okay, well, what about the Radbaz, where he says that it's at least a pious thing to do? So he says that if there's certainly danger. Remember, the Radbaz says if there's certain danger, then it would not be a midas chasidus. You'd be a chasid shota. You'd be a foolish, pious fool. So what about the donation of a kidney? So the Minchas Yitzchak in number 13, and also this opinion the Tzitz Eliezer, that that it would be problematic to give a kidney because you're putting yourself in at significant risk. And he says that and the Radbaz is saying that it's permissible if you want to do it, is only if it will, if by risking his own life, he'll certainly save the other person. Maybe it's, maybe it's not so certain. I mean, sometimes a transplant isn't effective in saving the other person. So the Minchas Yitzchak says that, use it as problematic. Other major posting of Ravad Yosef or Vasher Weiss say that it's, certainly at the very least, what the Rabbaz was talking about when in the category of Midas Chassidus, that if you do it, it's a praiseworthy thing to do. And I think part of the analysis there is the Minchas Yitzchak was a little bit earlier. And as we get to more recent authorities, it seems like there's more of an openness, more of a certainly acceptance of donating kidneys and even an encouragement to do so. Because from what I understand, the procedure has become less dangerous more recently than it was in previous years. So that could be part of the equation as well. And that's what Rav Avadi Yosef says in number 14. He says he saw from the Minchas Yitzchak and he saw from the Tzitz Eliezer that it's prohibited because you're putting yourself in danger. But he says, in truth, so a lot of Rofim Mumchim, I've been told from the expert doctors who are also Yirei Shemayim, God-fearing people, that the danger of the surgery is very remote. 99% of donors fully recuperate, meaning the surgery, The danger from the surgery itself is extremely remote. Even afterwards, there's, you know, the vast, vast majority of people fully recuperate. So, and he says when the authorities say that you can't danger yourselves, that's only, you know, when it's 50-50. It's the suffix ashoko, when, you know, you 50% chance of dying or coming into significant danger. But when here, the possibility of danger from the surgery and even afterwards, he says it is so statistically remote, then it's certainly not prohibited. And he said it's certainly a mitzvah to donate a kidney to save his friend from certain death. And Rav Asher Weiss, Shlita, great posek in our times, goes even farther. And he says that regarding kidney donation, number 15, Luli de Mistafina Michavra, if I did not fear my peers, I would be inclined to say that nowadays it's entirely obligatory to donate a kidney if you're a match and you could save someone's life. Because you know, all the recent studies have shown that the danger is very low. He says almost non-existent. And the possibility of saving a life is very great. So he's probably the most... like pro, but goes as far, and he acknowledges that he's more of an outlier in this, to say that it's perhaps an obligation. But many others, Rav Avadya Yosef included, says that it's not obligatory, but if you do it, it's certainly a great mitzvah. And this is quoted in the by Rabbi Dr. Avram Steinberg, one of the great medical halakhic experts now. And he also concludes that this is the more standard approach, that it's a midas chassidus, and it's a pious trait and a great mitzvah to donate a kidney if it'll save someone's life, but there's no requirement to do so. But and obviously that's why these organizations, particularly Renewal, exist, because they save, you know, hundreds of lives through this, meaning it definitely saves a life, but you can't say that halacha requires you to take, even if it's not a risk of death, but to, you know, make such an investment. And right at the end of the day, you have one kidney instead of two. So there's some amount of permanent vulnerability that you're entering to. So the post can say that there's not a requirement to, because the risk is relatively statistically low and you can save a life, so it's certainly a mitzvah, it's certainly a righteous, praiseworthy thing to do. Now, just one more question, and I see here we definitely wouldn't have time to do this and post-life organ donation, so we'll save that for next week. But one final question is, we assumed, that the question is what about donating a kidney, an altruistic donation. What about, I wouldn't donate for free, but you give me enough money, I'll give you my kidney. Is there anything wrong with that?
Yeah.
Why? But what if I'm not going to do it otherwise? Meaning, let's say I have no interest in giving a kidney. If you give me $1 million. So, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Does anyone say that you can?
What's the
issue? Like, not a kidney.
Why wouldn't you be able to? What's the issue with you trying to sell your own kidney? Can I sell my house to get stucco? What's the difference?
So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, then I'm not aware of others who dispute this, say that not a problem to sell it. Even if he says, if the person is quoted in the Nishmas Avraham, that even if the person selling his kidney is poor, needs the money for himself or to pay off debts, and he said, since he obtains his money by saving the life of another Jew, he'll certainly be doing a mitzvah. And this is true, even if he wouldn't have donated otherwise, because if you think about what we said, maybe not in the ruling of Russia Weiss, who says maybe there's a quasi obligation, but if you hold like the majority, there's no obligation to do it. So is it any worse to do it for $1 million than not to do it at all? If I don't have to do it, but I'll do it if you give me $1 million.
It's like a doctor charging to do a procedure.
So you're saying it's even more valid to charge with that?
Yeah. I think it's more valid to charge.
Right.
It's extra reason to charge.
No, yeah. I think, yeah, because you have a hefset from giving away. You're at a loss. And like you said before, at what level should we give to that? Like you mentioned as well. Should we give up some of our, some of our...
Right.
Of life? Here, you're giving up something that potentially down the line you might need or may or may not. You're going through a difficult procedure as well. You're putting yourself through difficulty. There's a recovery time.
Right. Right. So I know it doesn't sound as, and maybe isn't as altruistic to charge, but I actually think it's compelling. If we say there's no obligation at all by default, let's say someone, chas v'shalom, is in need of a kidney, and without a kidney will die, and I'm a match. But most of the postim say there's no halakhic obligation for me to make that type of investment to save them. Now, I'm not obligated to do it. If I do it, it's a nice thing. So I can choose to say, it's a pretty big deal to give up my kidney. I don't want to subject myself to the surgery and to recovery and the just living the rest of my life without a kidney. But I have a mortgage to pay, I have some tuition to pay, I have some debts. You give me $1 million, I'll do it. Is that worse than not doing it?
I think you're opening.
Is it worse than not doing it?
The question,
why?
Because it's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
Because no decision is made in a vacuum.
I'm going to
that being a decision.
So, but I think
that means a kid, and you're like, oh, you know what? I'll get $1 million for Ella's kidney, and I won't have to pay tuition for any of them. So,
well, but you tell Ella that plan. So I think what
it's not a
you might take precedent over.
Right. So I think. So it's not like the concern is, and I think it actually is a concern, is it's not that the individual act of only being willing to donate a kidney if you get paid for it is unethical, but what's that going to do to the kidney transplant, call it industry? Meaning is that your concern? Then it's gonna become standard.
It's like in China, they have like entire accounts full of people that rubbing of their
organs. Right, but that's not because, but that's against their will.
But we don't.
The line is no voluntary. Meaning, let's say
voluntary because you're getting money in return. Not voluntary, even if you're choosing that. Because once you put that amount of money, there's very little that most people won't.
Okay, $10,000. I don't know how much they give. Maybe it's $10,000. Maybe it's a gift certificate to Target. I don't know how much.
Let's say you have two candidates, and one can pay and one can't. Are you supposed to give it to the first person that's sick? Who do you give it to?
Right, so that gets into questions of triage. We have to go to a question of triage, who goes first. Moshe finds it said basically the first person you're able to save. But if we go for it. But donating a kid here.
If you can save one, it's the first one. That's
a different question. Well,
it is a different question. Triage is the, yeah.
I think.
About what? But Shlomo's on meaning of charging? So Shlomo's on an Orbach says, I'm not aware of others to say differently, that if that it's still a mitzvah to give, even if you charge for it. I don't think he doesn't define how much it is, but saying the charging doesn't negate the mitzvah because the assumption is you're not obligated to do it anyway.
But also, you're opening as a slippery slope is turning into a business.
Right. So that's what I would be more concerned about is now you don't have renewal, you don't have these organizations, you have some industry where so that may be an outgrowth of that, but that's not
like how many organs do you live with?
Meaning that may be an unintended consequence of that.
So
what about just
to become a broker? Yeah, I will broker people's kidneys. Is that okay? Can I broker people's kidneys?
No.
Yeah, I will go match people.
So this isn't talking about this. So this isn't necessarily talking about a business. But let's say individually.
Why is that unethical? There are people who probably wouldn't donate their kidneys and say.
Let's get an example. So Reuben. So Shimon needs a kidney. Reuben's a match. Reuben. Learning everything we learned tonight, He understands that it's not an obligation, and he doesn't really want to go into the procedure of having the kidney. But he says, you know what, Shimon, I could. Shimon's the one with the kidney. Yeah. So Shimon, I could use I could use the money. I have some debts. You pay me $10,000, then I'll give it to you. Is that unethically on a smaller scale? But otherwise, Reuben isn't going to give it because he doesn't have an obligation to give.
Will the charge $500 from? But that person's at a loss. That person's going to lose work. That person's going to.
Can I tell you exactly? But these things are happening in other places, and they're wrong.
So they lead. They probably on a mass scale. They lead to unintended or undesirable consequences.
He's asking from the most simplistic way.
I understood the question. Yes. I still think that it is wrong.
Because of the potential of what it leads to?
Either you do it from the goodness of your heart. Maybe it's the size somewhere and the organization.
But that's maybe coming in. Yeah.
I think this is a socialized medicine versus
it's
more
of a political
conversation. It's very altruistic.
So on that note, I'll just stop the recording here. But in summary, so we all have a obligation to that we protect our lives in this world aren't just ours to decide to extend, to end, or to compromise. We are custodians of our bodies while we're in this world. We can't subject ourselves to harm. That's one consideration. But we also have a obligation not to stand by while other people are harmed. And anyone who saves a life, it's as if they sustain the entire world. So when it comes to something like kidney donation, when there is a significant element of investment, but also the potential to save a life. So most of the poskim say, so there's some who say, including the Minchas Yitzchak, that it's not allowed because of the risks. It may have been because it was that tshuva was written several decades ago. Most, including Rav Adya Yosef, say that there's not an obligation, but if you do it, if you donate a kidney, it's a great mitzvah. And the Rav Asher Weiss, who says that it, because the risk is so low, it may be close to a level of obligation. End with a tefillah that all those who are in need of transplants, and there are people who are waiting for transplants, should have. The Rofe Kolbasser should give everyone who needs a Rufuah Shleima. We should always be mindful not to stand by while other people are harmed. Always intervene in whatever ways we can.